You're listening to the Agentic Executive, intelligence briefings for high-leverage operators. I'm Adrian Cross, and in the next few minutes, we're going to do something most operators don't do nearly enough. We're going to remove options on purpose.
And I'm Amelia Voss. If your calendar, your roadmap, or your AI stack feels like a buffet that never ends, this one is for you.
The pattern I see constantly. A leader is stuck on a decision, and their instinct is to add more. More data, more tools, more opinions, more scenarios. It feels like diligence. In practice, it's often just delay with better branding.
You can hear it in the language. Things like, let's keep our options open, or we don't want to constrain this yet. It sounds sophisticated, but the system reveals the truth. The more unconstrained the decision, the slower and fuzzier it gets.
Endless optionality has a hidden cost. It quietly taxes your attention, your team's energy, and your decision velocity. High agency operators don't carry that tax. They impose constraints that force focus and make the next move obvious.
So today is a constraint-first playbook. One core idea, three moves: cap, cut, and commit. You can run this against a product decision, a hiring plan, even how you're using AI this week.
Constraint-first strategy, in one line, is this. Instead of asking, what else can we do, you ask, within these sharp limits, what's the highest leverage move we can make?
It sounds limiting at first, but it's the opposite. Sharp limits concentrate energy. Think of a flashlight versus a laser. Same photons, totally different impact. Constraints narrow the beam.
And this is important. We're not talking about shrinking your ambition. We're talking about shrinking the search space. Same goals, tighter path. Clarity is leverage, and constraints create that clarity on demand.
Let's anchor this in a mental model before we go tactical. There are real constraints, and there is self-imposed noise. Real constraints are things like a hard deadline, a fixed budget, compliance rules. They don't move just because you want them to.
Self-imposed noise is everything that masquerades as a constraint but actually isn't. Vague preferences, legacy habits, stakeholder drama. If you can't write it down as a clear rule, it's probably noise.
The shift you want to make is simple. First, surface the few real constraints that actually shape the decision. Then deliberately add a couple of sharp, chosen constraints that help you move faster. That's constraint-first strategy.
Let's move into the three-step model. Cap, cut, commit. This is the part you can practically copy-paste into your next decision memo.
Step one is cap. You explicitly cap time, budget, and complexity before you dive into options. Not after, before.
Time cap first. Ask, what is the maximum decision time we're willing to spend before this starts destroying value? For many decisions, that's not weeks. It's hours, sometimes minutes.
For example, you might say, we will make this call in 48 hours with the best information we have, and we accept that some uncertainty will remain. That one sentence pulls you out of analysis paralysis.
Then, budget cap. Decide what you are actually willing to invest in this decision or project before you start optimizing it. That can be dollars, headcount, or even your own attention. For many executives, the real scarce resource is hours of focus.
And complexity cap is the one almost no one sets explicitly. You define the maximum complexity you'll allow. Number of stakeholders, number of approval steps, number of metrics you're willing to track. If you don't cap complexity, it grows by default.
A simple constraint template you can use is this. We will spend no more than X hours, Y dollars, and include Z stakeholders in getting to a decision. You'd be surprised how many big company problems vanish once that sentence exists.
So, cap the time, cap the budget, cap the complexity. That's the box you're allowed to play in.
Step 2 is cut. Once you've drawn the box, you start removing anything inside it that doesn't move the outcome. Options, metrics, meetings, even whole work streams.
Here's the question I like. If this disappeared, would we meaningfully change our decision or our execution plan? If the answer's no, it's a candidate to cut.
Cut options. Instead of exploring 8 different go-to-market variants, pick the top 2 that are meaningfully different and drop the rest. More options don't create more leverage after a certain point. They just create more cognitive overhead.
Cut metrics. Executives love dashboards with 40 numbers, but patterns create power, and you can't see patterns in a fog. Decide which 3 metrics actually determine whether this is working, and let the rest be background, not the headline.
And cut stakeholders. This is often where speed dies. If a stakeholder isn't accountable for the outcome or providing critical input, they don't belong in the critical path. They can be informed, not involved.
The key here is courage. Cuts feel risky because you're saying no to possible upside. But leaving everything in is actually the riskier move because you dilute execution. Precision drives agency.
We've capped and we've cut. Step 3 is commit. This is where you translate constraints into a decision rule and then move.
A decision rule is simply the sentence that defines how you'll choose. For example, we will choose the option that gets us to real customer usage within 30 days, even if it's less polished.
Or, we will choose the path that keeps fixed costs under this number, even if it means giving up some theoretical upside. The constraint is now baked into the rule.
Once you have the rule, you make the call. No more rounds of vague debate. You pick the option that best matches the rule, and you immediately translate it into concrete next steps on the calendar.
And you schedule a review checkpoint. For example, in 4 weeks, we'll review this decision against our 3 core metrics and either double down, adjust, or kill. Commit doesn't mean irreversible. It means irreversible for a defined window.
That review window is important psychologically. It makes it easier to commit because you know exactly when you'll reopen the question. You're not locking yourself in forever. You're locking yourself in long enough to get real signal.
So that's the core model. Cap, cut, commit. Now let's talk about where most of you are already introducing complexity, your use of AI, and how to bring constraint-first thinking there, too.
Most people use AI as an infinite expansion engine. Ask a vague question, get a longer list, generate more options, more scenarios, more pages of text you'll never fully read.
You want the opposite. Use AI as a constraint enforcer. That starts with how you prompt. Instead of, give me all the ways we could, you say, within these constraints, what is the single highest leverage move?
For example, you are acting as an operator with a $50,000 budget cap, a 6-week timeline, and a team of 3. Propose one plan, not a list, that fits those constraints and maximizes X metric.
You can also ask AI to help you cut. Given this list of 10 initiatives, which 3, if executed well, would likely produce 80% of the impact under these constraints? You're teaching the system to prioritize inside the box, not expand the box.
And for commit, you can have AI draft the decision rule and review plan. Summarize this into a 1-sentence decision rule and a 4-week review checklist. Now you've automated the boring part and preserved the sharpness of your thinking.
Let's acknowledge a few failure modes, because this is where constraint-first strategy can quietly go sideways.
First, fake constraints. These are limits you claim to have, but you quietly break them whenever it's convenient. For example, you cap meetings at 30 minutes, but regularly run them to an hour. The system learns that your constraints are theater.
If your constraints are negotiable every time they get uncomfortable, they're not constraints, they're wishes. A real constraint survives discomfort.
Second, sandbagging. That's when you understate what's possible so you can hit the target easily. It feels safe, but you're just narrowing your ambition, not sharpening your focus.
The goal is not to make life comfortable. The goal is to maximize impact per unit of time, capital, and attention. Constraints should stretch you, not protect you from effort.
And third, hiding behind flexibility. You hear it as, let's not lock anything in yet, or we want to stay flexible. Flexibility is useful until it becomes an excuse not to choose.
You do not create leverage by keeping every option alive. You create leverage by choosing a path, constraining it intelligently, and then executing hard inside that frame.
So, how do you operationalize this today? Not in theory, but in the next 10 minutes.
Action step. Pick one active initiative. Just one. A deal you're working, a product decision, a hiring plan. Even how you're rolling out AI in your team.
Then, in under 5 minutes, write down 3 hard constraints. 1 time cap, 1 resource cap, 1 complexity cap. That's it.
For example, we will make the decision by Friday at 4 p.m. We will not spend more than $20,000 testing this. We will keep the decision group to 3 people. Now you have a deliberate box.
If you want to go one step further, turn it into a decision rule. Given those constraints, we will choose the option that gets us to customer signal fastest. You've just implemented cap, cut, and commit on a single page.
This is how you turn constraints into a force multiplier, not a cage. You're not accepting smaller outcomes. You're concentrating your firepower, so the outcome you already want becomes more likely, faster.
If this briefing helped tighten your thinking, this is exactly what we do here every day. One core idea, a few sharp moves, and a clear next action.
Follow or subscribe to the Agentic Executive so these 10-minute constraint checks land automatically in your queue. Make your next move count. And as always, stay agentic.